Welcome, welcome.
Our town has plenty.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Welcome to Beverly Harling, who's going to be speaking with us today.
Aren't we lucky?
Very lucky.
Aren't I lucky? Come on.
Stop that. Shush.
Yeah, thank you for coming down to, basically tell us what you've been up to. And we've been working together on and off over time, and you've met Patsy and Rack before at various points.
Right.
It's one of those town things, isn't it?
That I met everything too, so it's
exactly. That's why you bump into the same people, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. Usual suspects.
Yeah. Always, yeah.
And the last time I saw you, I think, was when you were performing at the stables for Hey Good Looking, your scratch performance.
Mm.
And it brought tears to the audience and joy and all sorts of things, and I really wanted to go and tinker with the strung up bits of smelted metal that you had.
Oh yeah,
hanging
the metal
up
for my dad's foundry. Yeah,
so great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. So. Yeah, on an old coat rack.
It was fantastic.
No expense spared.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What's been happening since then?
I feel like I've just got lots of fingers in many different pies at the moment. There's loads and loads of different projects happening, all kind of around the Hastings area, which is exciting.
Mm.
I guess I'm just connecting with lots of people all the time and dreaming up things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with a lot of people locally, which I love doing.
Nice.
It's the best thing about our town, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. How long have you lived here now? Because you've been there, back again. Born here, right?
Give us the story. I was born in the Buchanan Hospital.
Ooh, solid.
Exactly. So I moved away when I was about 17, 18. I went to Brighton first, and then I went to London, and I stayed in London for ages and ages and ages. And then I came back, I think it must have been about 12 years ago.
Mm.
I can't believe it's been that long, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, because my son's 14, and we moved when he was about one and a half, actually. Yeah, so 12, 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. So you're a teenager.
Revisiting my teenage times, were very big flares and baggy jumpers and pendants and long hair and all that kind of thing. That was what was going on really when I was there.
You are making an album, is that correct?
I am.
Right now?
Yes.
That's exciting.
It is very exciting.
Yeah?
Yep. I got funding from Help Musicians, who have given me some money to make my album. The album is of Ploughing the Salt Sea, which was the show that I wrote all about my Hastings ancestry, and especially the female ancestry in the fishing community. I actually made that about 3 years ago, but it was on at the stables, and then I brought it back last year, and this year I'm doing a special event at the stables, which is, it's called Behind the Washing Line.
Ooh,
and it's now my album launch. Are you going to come to that one?
I love the fact that it's called what it's called, because it conjures up so much.
Yeah.
When is it?
It's the 20th of June. Yeah, so it's coming up soon. I'm making my album right now. Yeah. As fast as I possibly can.
Yeah.
So it's ready in time. It's been very interesting this time. I got funding because I decided... Oh, are you free? Are you? Yes! I decided that... strange times as a musician at the moment to make any money out of your music. It's all been kind of devalued because of Spotify and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I decided what I wanted to do is a little experiment. So I'm normally signed to a record label, the lovely Wawa 45s, who are based in London. But I decided to do something different this time. So with their blessing, I'm self-releasing. And I'm not going to make any CDs or vinyl. I'm going to... make a series of postcards. Seaside postcards.
Oh! Yay!
And the really exciting part is I just actually found out today that judges' postcards are going to partner with me.
No way.
The original
seaside postcards. Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous.
So there will be one musical postcard, which will have a QR code on it. So you can buy that and you can download the album with that. And then I will also, so you can just buy that on its own, or you can get a set of postcards, which have been lovingly made by a local postcard firm and me. And
someone's going to say, why didn't someone do this before?
Maybe someone has, I don't know.
No, I don't think they have.
Oh, okay. Right. The reason I thought about it was because I suddenly was thinking, when you're making music, where are people going to be able to buy it? Like, where in town can people buy it? Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few record stores here, actually, which is great.
Yeah.
And obviously online as well.
Mm.
But then I just thought, but postcard can go anywhere. Like, I could sell it in a gift shop. I could sell it in a bookshop. So I thought that might be quite fun. And I love the idea of a musical postcard. And
I love that.
And seaside. I mean, seaside postcards are classic.
They are classic, Didn't I see a post of yours where you have millions of them on the floor? Was that your image or was that something?
Yes, so also I'm working with Mae Dewsbury, who's helping on with the design front. And we had been talking about it, and then she found this beautiful box of old postcards that her mum had had.
Wow.
And she got them all out, and we were actually looking at them yesterday to look at how the designs are on the back and kind of figure out how we want it to be. So that's really exciting.
I like that. Mm. I love the creativity and the fact that it knows no bounds. Because the bravery, the courage of creativity is such a thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, I fancy doing this, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, we all have it, don't we? And every time I do a creative project, I always learn more about myself and just how to just go for things. And people, you know, what are you going to lose? Like, I contacted judges and I had no idea what they were going to say. And I thought they're probably going to be a bit like, who's this person?
Mm.
You know, and they were amazing. And they're part sponsoring the cards.
Fantastic.
Which is really generous of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I received an email from somebody there that said, oh, hi Bev, you live on my road.
Oh, your road is magical.
I know, my road is magical. And it turns out that they know me from Instagram already. And so, it's a good full circle moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Ploughing the Salt Sea story itself is so rich, isn't it? And you really did dig right into all of the family history going back to like the 1400s,
yes.
Was it, in Rye?
Yes. Well remembered.
Thank you. I don't know. This is like, catalogued somewhere from following the story so closely, which was really fun to do because there were moments where you discovered new things about your family and where... You know, the moment that you found the article that described your great uncle's funeral and listed all the people you'd been researching, and suddenly they stepped out of the research paper into the newspaper and felt even more real.
Yeah.
And that whole process of discovery, research, and storytelling was just so wonderful to witness. So to know now that it's going to be shared through the postcards is so exciting. So
and it's been really fun to go through, because I think like when I made this show it was a bit of a whirlwind, there was so much going on, there was research again, like this sort of bravery thing, just stepping into something, into the unknown, I'm not an actor, I'm not a dancer, I'm not a theatre maker, and then suddenly I was like all of those things. That whole kind of discovery element, there was, I think, so many things kind of went past as well. And also, I was finding out some difficult things, and I was like dealing with a lot of stuff to do with my mom and, and losing her and all that kind of stuff. And that was really the whole point of it. I worked with a transformational coach called Mo Cohen, who was kind of helping me to direct and self-direct myself.
Yeah.
And that was really amazing because he was supporting me the whole time. Mm. And it made everything just very authentic. So it was all very real.
Yes.
Because of that, there were so many things going on and so much to deal with. I didn't really have time to sort of really take stock of the songs that I was writing. Wow. I was just sort of, I've got to perform them now. Okay, I've got to get on with it.
Sure.
So this was is a brilliant experience because I'm just spending time with the music and in a studio, so I can sort of get like into the finer details of it and just really enjoy. You know, Mrs. Hum came to visit the other day. Well, the landlady of the Fortune of War pub, who may or may not have offed my grandfather.
Okay. And possibly some other fellas.
And possibly some others.
Was she some sort of poisoner? When you say offed?
Landlady of the Fortune of War pub.
Okay. Stashed some guns as well.
Yeah. She's got she had illegal guns. She had it all. Yeah. She's a very interesting character. But she, again,
I'd like to have known her.
Yeah. You can meet her because she literally appears through me. I'm not acting when she turns up.
She wrote her song.
She visits, yes.
Wrote her song. I just got some old glasses out and started playing them. And then the song just went whoop. So she obviously had a story to tell.
Yes.
I feel like I might be slandering her, actually.
No.
She didn't do anything. But
no. So you gave her a channel to come through to be able to tell her story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm not surprised that at the time you didn't have the ability to be able to, you know, pull back and form an album on top of everything else that you were doing. Like that was just, you knew that lag in between. Not that it would have been a lag for you, because I know you... Fingers and pies, busy. there's something about being away from the material for a bit, I imagine, and then coming back to it. So I'm really interested to see what it feels like, sounds like, how Mrs. Hum is, you know, appearing, and all of the other characters, because all of them are drawn from life, from history, from our Hastings history here, real people, and it is, you know, it's a modern day telling of really important hidden histories here in our town, and that's just absolutely thrilling that it's going to come into being again. And the idea of the behind the washing line as well. So that was talking about people who you'd drawn in or who had jumped in to join your project, really.
Yeah, exactly. So so it's just filling in more of the stories, because obviously when you make a show like that, it's a kind of straight through, like, hour and 20 minutes, and it just doesn't let up.
No.
But there are loads of things that didn't get included in it, you know, that are...
You've got spin-offs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I've got a whole...
I see spider-grams coming out of you, kind of like...
Oh, my goodness,
all these extras.
Yeah. Exactly. So Behind the Washing Line is going to be... I'm going to be singing songs from the album, but I'm also going to have... a couple of people that I'll be interviewing. I'm going to have some special guest musicians who are going to come and play with me. I've also got some... I really want to show some of the amazing footage that Caitlin Locke shot of a beautiful woman called Violet Bailey, who's in her 90s, whose dad manned the local lifeboat that went out looking for my great-uncle Louis, who was missing at sea.
Oh.
And we bumped into each other on Facebook, and the next minute I was talking to her, interviewing her. She was telling me all about Hastings' life from when she was a little girl, and you know, and remembered my great uncle Louis and my family.
Did you record it?
Yes,
great.
I have it all. So I'm going to show some footage of that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and there is this something beautiful, isn't there, as well, about just having an archive. I'm sure people do. It would be nice to pull kind of archive materials together of people being interviewed who can remember these times.
Well, they talk. They talk often across the Facebook pages. I watch them having these conversations. Oh, this and this and this. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? But it's the it's grabbing the ones that are really ancient now and getting that before you can't.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most valuable thing ever.
Yeah.
We should all record the last 5 years of our lives, I think, as some sort of recorded diary, so that then it's we're down. And then people can access it and hear it. And
well, this is something that I kind of did for my dad. So while I was making the show, my dad, who had dementia, I was asking him and spending really amazing times with him, just talking about his early life with my mum, because the whole show was really about my mum. Mm. But inadvertently, we then ended up talking about him. So I have all these beautiful audio recordings of him talking about what he could remember from his early life, which segueing into the Scratch show that I did at the start of the year, which is about his life, and which started in Elephant and Castle.
Of course it did.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, this could be long. This could be so long. There's so much. We scratched the surface of this woman. Mm. There's a lot, isn't there?
There is.
Hopefully, I don't smell.
No, I don't think you smell.
Scratch and sniff.
And there she goes again.
I hadn't thought about that. Yes,
yeah, range. A whole new
there's a new range of postcards.
Stop.
Oh, smells of the fishing.
It's so evocative.
A bit of old rope.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
They call it ozone. I don't know if it is ozone. Whatever it is that you smell when the seaweed is baking in the sun, and you go, oh, that lovely. Mm. He hates it. I love it. I walk outside and go, oh, can you smell it? Oh, it's so adorable. You go, yeah, I do. I live for it. But
we may have to have you back to talk more.
Oh, we do.
I'm happy to do that because I have some things that I've got coming up I don't know how much I can talk about them.
Any more questions?
Yes. Well, I was just going to ask if you could run us through the different musical instruments and things that you've actually used in this new album, and something about the who else you're working with to produce it, and just give us a little flavour of, because I know there were a lot of different
old, new,
Okay. So I think probably like one of the main features is my beloved pump organ, which has been wheeled out on a few occasions, including for HTP for the DFL show.
Yeah.
And it was wheeled down into Bottle Alley.
Yeah.
And I just played some piratey numbers down there for Pirate Day. I have like a little one which is really cute that folds up like into a little case that you can move around. So my pump organ, I play the glasses, which is Mrs. Hum having a little play around with her empties. Mm-hmm. There is violin, which I mainly write on. This is my main creative instrument. Mm. There's a cittern as well, which is like an Elizabethan sort of guitarish instrument, and my voice also, that's an important part of the show as well, is there are things that have absolutely no instruments, so it's just voice, as my ancestors would have done in the pubs in Hastings, and they'd have
sung it out.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd have just got up out of nowhere over a pint and just started singing a song, and everybody would have been weeping or joining in or
adding a harmony.
Yeah.
Call and response, that kind of
thing. Yeah. There's a beautiful book by a guy called Bob Copper, who's part of the Copper family. I don't know if you've heard of those. They do come and do concerts here regularly. They had a book passed down through generations of the old kind of songs that would be sung in the fields by the agricultural labourers.
They feature Jack in the Green.
There's a brilliant segment in one of his books where he visits Hastings and talks about going in these pubs, and like there's this one fisherman that he's trying to find, because everyone keeps saying, oh, if you can get this fisherman to sing this song to you, it's gonna be amazing. You've got to find. So he's in this whole mission, it goes on for ages the whole time he's in Hastings, and eventually he finds the fisherman, and the fisherman just sort of says, oh, buy me a pint first and then I might sing. and then he doesn't sing. And then he comes back the next day and he's like, oh, buy me another pint, and it just goes on.
This sounds like a joke now.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the other people with PR, it sounded like.
Yeah, totally. Wow. And then eventually the guy stands up out of nowhere and sings this incredible song.
Oh.
And his recording equipment doesn't work.
No.
He's been trying to capture it that whole time. It's brilliant.
Oh, that's gutty.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, what a brilliant story.
Yeah. Great
classic
story,
classic Hastings.
Yeah. Yeah. The cat's still on. Sorry. Wedding photo's not there.
Yeah.
Oh no, I've done that.
I
videoed a big beautiful part of India with a lens cap on the
No.
It was great audio.
Yeah. use that for something.
That's all right.
And then you hear me go, and then you see this kind of like, oh no, I've just gone darling. Through this wonderful thing with the lens cap.
Did you go back?
No, we couldn't. We had to move on.
Oh dear.
I know. The
we've got the memories.
Yes.
Well, I remember it very well. The step wells. Mm. It was so beautiful. It was what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you feel Hastings has changed? What do you think about where it's at now? And,
that's a long one. Isn't do you want another hour? No,
yeah, looking at 17 and then coming back much later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, it's changed in so many different ways. Yes, it felt a lot more deprived, I think, when I was growing up. It felt really arse end of nowhere. I always felt like I wasn't going to stay here. I felt like from quite an early age, I was like, I've got to go elsewhere and do the things that I want to do. And, you know. Mm. But, I don't feel that way now. It's completely different, isn't it?
It's gone through a big old bell curve, hasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it has. Mm. And So there are some elements that I'm slightly beginning to struggle with now, I think. Just, I love people coming here and bringing everything that they've got and just throwing themselves into life here. But I think there are quite a few people I feel like recently who might have moved here who aren't doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So it feels a little bit like, come on, like get involved or bugger off.
That's my question on the DFL site when they come in and they say, or they come into St Leonard's on Sea's place to be, and they say, I'm moving here. And my question is always, what are you bringing?
Yeah. Mm.
What are you bringing?
Yeah.
What can you offer?
Yeah.
Because it people coast, and there's an entitlement I feel in some that don't bring something.
Yeah.
Juicy or, and it doesn't mean you have to be creative, just
no, I mean it can be the fact that you love going to creative stuff and that's what you bring. You bring your audience enthusiasm and your love of what's going on here.
And you support the crowd.
Yeah.
Support
them. Yeah. But you know, I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, they wouldn't be welcome here. It's like everybody's welcome here, but I just I feel passionately that this place is just wonderful, and it becomes more and more and more wonderful with the things that people bring.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
We're both doing the eye thing here.
Yeah, we're doing the eye thing.
But it's so true. No, not to put anybody off, absolutely. It's generously supported. Mm. I have a feeling that when you come here, it felt like, if you love me, Hastings said, I will love you back. Mm. But I feel like that about everywhere, wherever we go. If you go and love it, it will really treat you well. If you treat it with disdain, it will kick your ass and it will do it hard.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about when you pull together, the community is just extraordinary.
Yeah.
Generous.
Yeah.
And generous of time, generous with wealth, generous. But be part of that generosity. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And talented. It's everybody pretty much has a story of what they did way back when, and they're actually, you know, an aficionado, I can't say the word, of that, or a, you know, excellent person at this, and you're like, gee!
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it is quite special somehow, you know, and there's this kind of drawn down to the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really easy to connect as well.
Yeah, really easy. Yeah, I've witnessed that. Like, Dan, as you're walking along the front, and then I heard this couple, like, talking to another woman saying, well, it looks like we're stalking you now, as they're all queuing up for coffee. And then they introduce themselves, and it's like, that's so lovely, rather than just like, which you might get in London or something.
This is a conversational opening. This is where we start chatting, and we swap numbers, and this is where we meet for dinner.
Yeah.
This is where we go to the theatre, and this is where we turn up. Oh my God, we both.
Yeah.
And you end up with that wonderful, and then you make friends and
your crew. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. And I mean, even yesterday, you know, when it was absolutely down, wasn't it? And it was windy, and I was there, like, I had this hood, like, literally like this, sort of like going on the road. And I just and a random woman walking the other way just you know, was like, oh God, like, what's going on? And started having a conversation with me, you know. And it's just, I've no idea who she was, and I absolutely love that. And I know also from a lot of the stuff that I did with my dad to do with his dementia, that, you know, having those connections are oh my God, they are so important. Mm-hmm. Those everyday connections. Oh, mm-hmm. He got dementia when COVID arrived and he was locked down. And I'm absolutely convinced that it had a really large part to do with his dementia.
The speed.
The speed of it just happened so quickly. And you know, all of these amazing moments where you just make a little connection with someone. He was always going to, he lived on his own, but he went out every day. He went to coffee places and they would treat him like he was their granddad. All of these just like taking care of each other and being sort of listened to and seen and all of those things, and having these little conversations. It doesn't matter what it's about, does it? It's about making that connection, and it's
gorgeous
your brain.
It doesn't have to make sense.
Little moments.
There was a woman, I was walking down Pevensey Road on Monday actually, bank holiday, and there was a woman walking up the road, and as she passed me, I heard her say, "I love your hair," and I looked round and she went, "I'm so sorry," and I went, "What are you sorry about?" And she said, "I said that was so nice, thank you so much." Mm. She said, "Well, I just," and then we ended up in a vocal embrace. Hello, Bailey. We're having tea on Friday. We're meeting in Casa for tea because there was this. No, let's, and it's the courage that you have of saying, let's not let this pass. Mm. Let's make something of this. It was delicious. It was one of those lovely moments. And because we're very much like that here, we will always. I was shocked actually when I first came to Hastings, because I'm an East London girl, and we're very sort of ordinary sort of people, East London people. We're very dyed in the wool, salt of the earth types. But I was shocked at how many times people would say good morning. And it was like, and I was looking around going, oh, me? Oh, thanks. Yeah, great. I was in my 20s when I came here, which is a very long time ago. But the point that make that a thing, you know, always say hello. Mm. We said hello to everybody during lockdown, didn't we? And they were people would be unnerved. They'd be like, what? I go, morning. Hello, how are you, lovely dog, you look great. And every single day we would go out and we would talk to lots of random people, because they weren't talking, and it was like, you're probably listening to the news, and I'd rather you had a connection with a human. So we made a big effort, didn't we, on that, to go and make people, probably scared the out of people actually, to be perfectly frank, but I don't care, that's two bleeps, I know, I'm getting my money's worth. But you the editing.
Sorry.
But the point of that connection. Mm. I'm so sorry that your dad had it at that time, particularly because that must have been really hard for you.
Yeah, it was.
But the deliciousness of getting his memories and being able to record them, and because it would get clearer with dementia, then the old stuff would get clearer.
Exactly, yeah. So it was while that decline was happening, there was this, we could go somewhere access. Where we could have really amazing conversations about things. And, you know, obviously, like, towards the end, that wasn't possible. But then that's where music really came into its own. So he was a mad fan of Hank Williams.
I love Hank Williams.
I love him too. So that was many car journeys down to the West Country when I was a kid listening to Hank Williams. And it didn't really matter. When it got to the point where he couldn't even tell me what he'd had for his lunch, he could still sing a Hank Williams song with me. It's very powerful.
Precious.
Yeah.
Music is so precious.
Yeah. So the scratch performance of that segue. You're supposed to be doing the segue, sorry.
I'm still in Hank. Go on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, I know. It's dreamy. I am going to be, I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything yet, I am in talks with the Hastings Storytelling Festival, and I am, it's looking like I'm going to do a kind of moved on version of the Scratch performance at the Storytelling Festival this year.
Great.
And then the full show, All Bells and Whistles, will be next, 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Storytelling Festival, so that's quite exciting.
Very exciting.
Yes.
Excellent. I can't wait.
So much.
It's just,
Oh, there's more. I don't know if I can talk about it yet.
This is great. But can you come on and tell us when you're getting closer?
Yes.
Because give people a heads up, so if you're ticket sales or just to get people sort of, it's a tease.
Yeah.
You have to tease.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if people want to come and talk to me as well at Behind the Washing Line, I'm very happy to have a chat with them.
Mm.
And you can just buy tickets for that on the Stables, the Stables website.
Yeah.
And that's part of the Seen and Heard Festival, which this year is being run by women.
Thank you. I like that a lot.
So I think there's some performances, some like new plays that have been written by women and directed by women and starring women and all that kind of thing. And that's happening later on this month.
Yes.
It's exciting.
I love that.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, so glad you came in.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, nice. No, it's food, mate. Oh. It's food. This is all so good.
Well, thanks for having me.
We love you, Ben Mignola.
Well done, Ben.
Because you're part of a plentiful
Cheers.
Town.
Absolutely.
We love you. Yes. So this has been Beverly Arling, everybody.
And our town has plenty.
Thank you, Twitter.